Wisconsin. It is the Maggie Dawn Show. I am Maggie Dawn, joined as ever and always by my wonderful producer, Brian Kelly. But because it is 3 o'clock, it is time for Maggie and the Millionaires talking money as we do every day in the 3 o'clock hour. Set your schedules, folks. You're not going to want to miss a bit of it, especially my wonderful, kind guest today. Her name is Sarah Anderson. She directs the Global Economy Project at the Institute for Policy Studies and is the co-editor of the IPS website, inequality.org. Sarah's research covers areas like inequality, obviously, CEO pay, taxes, labor, and Wall Street reform. She's the lead author of more than 20 annual executive excess reports that have received extensive media coverage. She's also written a couple of books because she's a very smart woman, including The Field Guide to the Global Economy and Alternatives to Economic Globalization. She holds a master's in international affairs from American University and a BA in journalism, no less, from Northwestern. So you'll know a little bit about what we're doing here. Welcome so much, Sarah. It's really special to have you here. This week in particular, having kicked off the week with Labor Day, of course. You know a lot about executive compensation, and your organization just came out with an absolutely stunning report. Tell us about this, because everybody's known that CEOs get paid a lot, but it's become a lot more, and it seems to be accelerating, does it not?
Yeah, thanks so much for having me on, Maggie. It's really a pleasure to be here. I'm originally from Minnesota, so sort of next door to Wisconsin. And I've always found that when I go home to the rural community where I grew up, I can find common ground with people on CEO pay, no matter where they are on the political spectrum or whatnot. I think people find it just so outrageous that there are these extreme gaps today between CEO and pay for CEO pay and pay for ordinary workers. And the report that we just released zeroes in on the 100 largest low-wage companies in America. So we're talking about Walmart, Home Depot, McDonald's, Starbucks, Dollar General. I could go on and on, but many companies that your listeners, I'm sure, are very familiar with. And one thing we found is that the gap between average CEO pay and worker pay at these companies last year stood at 538 to 1. In other words, a typical worker at these companies would have to work 538 years to earn as much as the average CEO at these companies earns in 1 year. And, you know, a lot of these companies like to say, well, we don't have enough money to pay workers a living wage. But the truth is they have plenty of money. They're just focused on making those at the top even richer. And so another really important part of the report, I think, is that we looked at how much these companies have been spending on stock buybacks.
Yes.
This is where a company repurchases their own shares. And when they do that, it artificially inflates the value of their stock. And that in turn inflates the value of their CEO's stock-based pay. And so stock buybacks are really a scam to make executives and shareholders even richer. And this group of 100 low-wage companies spent over $500 billion on stock buybacks over the past 5 years. So that's just one, you know, outrageous example of the very perverse priorities of these companies that are so focused on making people at the top even richer, while many workers are struggling even to put food on the table.
We had a great guest last week. I'm going to blank on his name, Brian, if you can remind me, who talked about stock buybacks. That's all we talked about what a scam they are. The fact that they didn't exist into a little known securities provision was inserted into the federal code in, I believe, 1982. And so we've seen these. Yeah. Yeah. And I just wanted to be sure that everyone, just to highlight the statistic you mentioned, these 100 low wage companies, again, companies like Starbucks, Home Depot, Dollar General, et cetera, that they've executed stock buybacks exceeding $1 trillion. What was the exact statistic and how much?
Over half a trillion dollars.
Over half a trillion.
Stock buybacks over the past 5 years. And one thing that is just such a huge number to wrap people's minds around, but I think that the thing I was most shocked by in our report this year was we compared how much these low-wage companies have spent on stock buybacks to all of the money that they've been putting into what you call long-term capital investments, things like technology upgrades or fixing up their stores or, you know, other things that companies have to do to be competitive over the long term. And 47, almost half of the companies on our list had spent more money on stock buybacks to inflate CEO pay than they'd spent in these long-term productive investments.
Wow. So when we're talking about, like we did with our guest last week, the idea that profits for a company can be, quote, plowed back into the company, meaning these technological investment capital improvements, improving the way that their stores look, the customer experience, the online experience, research and development, or of course, in worker wages, or even bonuses. Those are all choices that a company can make. And you said nearly half or just over half of these 100 low-wage companies are spending more on buybacks than even their R&D tech improvements or capital improvements. That's incredible.
Isn't that just insane? I mean, and another way we put this in context is we looked at Lowe's, the home improvement store. They spent the most of any of these companies on stock buybacks over the past 5 years. They spent $43 billion. And to break that down, that would have been enough to give every Lowe's employee a $30,000 bonus every year for the past 5 years. And that would have meant a lot to these workers because their median pay is just $32,000.
Yeah, that statistic, when I read it, Sarah, blew my mind. I'm going to repeat it at the sake of being repetitive here. Lowe's, which employs over 200,000 people, who pays their workers on average below effectively the poverty rate. In other words, what they pay around $33,000 per year isn't enough in not the federal poverty rate, but the real poverty rate, what it costs a single person to live. They pay them less than that. They could have nearly doubled all of these employees' salaries for 5 years, not a single year. Every single one of these over 200,000 in number employees could have nearly doubled their salaries for the amount that Lowe's has spent to enrich their CEO and their shareholders. And their shareholders aren't me and you. Regular middle income and working families own an incredibly small, less than 10% slice if we're looking at the S&P 500 or the NASDAQ or just companies writ large that are traded publicly on our stock exchanges. That is gross, would be a word for it. Yeah. And here's the thing, Sarah, it hasn't always been this way, has it?
No, and it's really important for people to know that because it's empowering to know that it didn't always used to be this way and we could go back to a different system. So if you go back to the 1960s, the gap between average CEO pay at a big company and typical worker pay was about 25-1. In the 1980s, it might have grown a little bit to like 40-1, but nowadays it's more like 300-1 for the S&P 500. And why did that happen? I mean, one reason is there was a tax reform in the 90s that allowed companies to deduct as much as they wanted off of their federal income taxes for CEO pay that was so-called performance-based, in other words, tied to the value of the stock price. And what that meant was that the more they paid their CEO, the less they owed Uncle Sam in the form of taxes. So it was just this gusher of pay going to CEOs. And often the company boards are made up of CEOs or executives of other companies.
They're so buddies.
They're scratching each other's back, you know, and keeping this insane system in place, a system that makes no sense to pretty much anybody else in the country.
The interesting thing here is I think the average American, and certainly I believe in what I like to call aligned incentives, as someone who's got an economics degree who cares deeply about public policy, I like to see aligned incentives, right? Where workers do better and maybe the CEO does get paid more. But what happened here was not just a performance incentive, which sounds good to many of us. Mm-hmm. What happened here was a tax break that sort of looks like a performance incentive. And so what you've created are really perverse incentives for CEOs to engage in financial manipulations, things like stock buybacks, to temporarily juice stock prices to get their big payouts. And a lot of boards of directors, even those that have good governance models with lots of independent directors, they don't object to this because they get this newfangled tax deduction on their corporate taxes. It's a bad incentive that works well for everybody but the frontline worker. My special guest this half hour is Sarah Anderson. She is the director of the Global Economy Project at the Institute for Policy Studies and is the co-editor of the IPS website inequality.org. Because it's 3 o'clock, it is Maggie and the Millionaire. She might not be one, but we're talking about those millionaires because it is so important to each and every one of us. I always like to know how I might be getting screwed personally. And this is one of those ways. You're not going to want to go anywhere, anybody, because I'm back with Sarah after these brief messages. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.